This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today my guest on Off the Shelf is Van Hitch. Van is a senior advisor for Deloitte and works in Deloitte's federal practice. As a strategic advisor for Deloitte, Van supports Deloitte's federal customers and federal CIOs in particular, identify long-term technology and transformation opportunities, help them basically create efficiencies for government, ultimately for the American taxpayer and the American people, and help them figure out the best ways to do business. And prior to joining Deloitte, Van served as, for 9 years, Van, that's a long time, as a chief information officer for the Department of Justice. Van, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roger. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm looking forward to our discussion. It's there's a lot going on these days, or there's a lot of conversation anyway these days about IT acquisition, acquisition reform, as we all know, healthcare.gov and what's going on there and what's happened and what are the lessons learned. We'll talk about that on the show today. But first, it struck me, in looking at your bio, that you did serve 9 years for DOJ as the CIO, and that's the longest-serving cabinet-level CIO in government history, I guess. And so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That's probably take a lot of patience and perseverance.
It certainly did.
As a former government employee, I understand. But can you talk about some of your experiences at DOJ and what you went through? And I'd also like to sort of two-part question. I do that a lot. Compound questions. I don't know why. But just that, and also just sort of how the challenges changed over that 9 years from when you started to where we are today.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Roger, I considered it an honor to be the CIO of the Department of Justice. The department has a worthy mission, something I was always proud to be a part of. So that is first and foremost, and I took the job very seriously. And one of the things that I advise all IT people to do, but I certainly tried to do as the CIO, was to learn the business, because you really can't deal with the IT aspects of the business unless you really understand what it is. And at DOJ, that was quite a task, because there's 40 components. And there's a lot of lawyers, there's a lot of agents, there's a lot of administrative and budget people and all kinds of different professions. So understanding all those things was quite challenging. Over the years, the challenges, the real big challenges that I faced changed with the times, as you might expect over that period of time. When I first came to justice, it was right after 9/11.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And of course, the challenge at that point was, why did this happen? Could we have prevented it from happening? And what role could DOJ have played in preventing it from happening? And how can we prevent such things from happening in the future? So that was, and I would just classify it, among some of the terms that are of art that are used, how do we connect the dots?
Right.
How do we, find a needle in the haystack? And are we looking at the right information at the right time? So, and are we communicating among ourselves well?
Not only
within DOJ, but with this broad law enforcement community across the whole United States. So the very biggest challenge that I faced during my first several years there was trying to figure that out. How does all this work? What are all the technologies that are involved in analyzing the information and in people communicating within DOJ? What are the different avenues for getting out into the law enforcement community and with other federal agencies from a technology standpoint that should work, and did they work, and how could they work better, and things like that? That then spawned a program called the Law Enforcement Information Sharing Program, which then, you know, became a dominant kind of theme of many initiatives that I did at DOJ for a number of years. So during those early years, and, you know, I would say for maybe 4 to 5 years, that was a major emphasis. After that, the next challenge that I took up, and I'm not saying these things aren't always there, it's just that you can only deal with so many things at once.
Oh, yeah.
But I took up the challenge of cybersecurity. Cybersecurity is something that is basically critical to a federal agency, particularly an agency like DOJ, which is entrusted with a lot of major responsibilities and so forth. And a lot of really bad things could happen if the information gets out to the wrong people.
Absolutely,
and so forth.
Yep.
So looking into that, setting up a program, getting the funding for it, hiring people, setting up organizations, it was a very, very massive undertaking, another major change initiative that I did at DOJ, and that took a number of years also. So those were two waves of
major change. Yeah, those are pretty big waves.
Big waves. And then the next wave, which which the department faced as I left, and I communicated with my colleagues there that I knew that this was the next wave, and or at least I felt this was, and gave them my best advice on how to deal with it and what they were up ahead. But I felt it was time for somebody else to take over that challenge. Was the wave of consolidating infrastructure, because frankly, as I mentioned earlier, in many of these government IT programs, in order to get something done, you've got to focus really hard on getting these things done, and you can't spread yourself too thin, nor can you spread your dollars too thin. But during that time, our infrastructure suffered. So during all that time, we were kind of maybe robbing Peter to pay Paul a little bit in terms of taking some money away from our infrastructure renewal programs, the technology refresh programs, and you can only do that so long before it starts to really bite you in the back.
Right.
So there was a lot of effort that was going to be needed in order to refresh our infrastructure. At the same time, we were also being hit with the crisis that still persists today and will persist, as I would think, for the foreseeable future, is the budget crisis.
Yes. Yeah.
And in order to deal with that, we need to refresh our infrastructure, but we need to do it in a different way than it had been done before, in a way that's going to actually save money as we do that infrastructure. So that's, I think, the big mega challenge that is being faced, certainly at DOJ and certainly across many federal agencies today. But that gives you a little perspective on my time and when I was there and as I left DOJ.
Yeah, from a CIO's perspective, you know, the budget, obviously part of it is the numbers are going down, obviously, right? Is it part of the challenge for a CIO and federal, who actually controls the money? Is that a big issue?
It's a very big issue.
Can you touch on that for a moment?
Yeah, it's a very big issue. The issue in the federal government is these large federal agencies, these cabinet level agencies like DOJ, have many, many components. In DOJ, we had 40. They each had their own culture. You had to, and I respected them all. I got to know them all, but they all had their own pots of money.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
So there wasn't one big pot of money where you could say, okay, here, CIO, here's our IT budget. What do we do with it? That's not the way it worked. It was all over the place. And that's very difficult to deal with. And the CIO did not even have visibility of some of the transactions that were taking place. So in some cases, it was very difficult to know, unless I happened to just stumble over it, that some major acquisition had taken place in IT and I didn't even know it. Now that was sometimes by hook or crook, and sometimes, you know, who knows
what.
What
do you mean, wait a second, hook or crook at DOJ? What are you talking about?
But at any rate, there's definitely was not enough consolidation and overview of the budget by the CIO, and no way, the tools weren't there to do it. The budget processes weren't there. The funding mechanisms weren't there. The appropriations were all over the place. So that made it very difficult. And it gets at the heart of another issue in IT today, as well as when I was there, is holding people accountable. I mean, as the CIO, I want to be accountable. I want to be accountable sure. for these are the things I staked out to do, and these are the things that I'm trying to do, and here's how I'm doing it, and I'm either successful or not, or I've made this progress on it, but I want to be accountable. It's difficult to be accountable for something that you don't have all, that you don't even know right. what it all is, and you don't have the total control over it.
Right. Or it's worse to be accountable and not have the authority to write to execute.
Exactly. And I'm sure a lot of people automatically assume that the CIO knows everything. The CIO, of course, knows all exactly what's going on in all the IT in their department. And sure, you would love to, and you try to, but because of the way the complexities of the federal government and the organizational setups. And the way Klinger Cohen, I'll use that term, I presume you kind of know what that was.
The listening audience will know what Klinger Cohen is.
That's what set up the role of the CIO. The way that was set up, it gave the individual agencies a lot of discretion in how they implemented it. So each one of them implemented it in a different way.
Yeah, cookie cutter approach.
So it's very complex.
Van, I've got to implement a commercial right now, so we do have to take a break. Okay. So when I come back, we'll be talking more to Van Hitch. He's a senior advisor at Deloitte, and we'll continue our discussion of the CIO role, how would we fix some of that, and also talk about the federal market and how technology is changing acquisition processes. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
This is an important time for the federal government, a chance for agencies to do things differently. How will you help shape your future? Turn to Deloitte. With our private sector insight and public sector experience, we'll help you rethink, reduce, and restructure, and turn resolve into results, so you can see what's possible and make it happen. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. Wherever you need to go, Deloitte sees you there.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Van Hitch. Van is a senior advisor at Deloitte's federal practice. And Van, when we took the break, we were talking about budget and, you know, the fact that that is probably the paramount challenge that CIOs face, whether it's the decline in resources due to the budget challenges the federal government is facing, but also the issue of control or even understanding where the money goes, and your point about, you know, different agencies organizing the CIO in different ways and the cookie cutter approach and stovepipes and that sort of thing. I just wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, are there opportunities to address that particular issue, whether, and I guess it's a two-part thing. Again, I am with my two-part or compound questions. Like, one is, and maybe it's the control, talk about control first, how you address that or have visibility of what's going on if you're a CIO, how there are opportunities to address that. And secondarily, are there opportunities to respond effectively, I guess, to the budget profile as it changes? I mean, you mentioned savings and thinking about savings. So why don't we do control first and then talk about saving?
Well, on the control issue, certainly at a minimum, the CIO needs to have visibility and full participation in every aspect of the budget cycle and the expenditure cycle for IT funds. There should not be any meetings that take place on IT budget where the CIO is not present. I think that's critical because it's so complex, just given the complexities of the organization, just getting it all together is an issue. And frankly, the tools aren't there. I mean, we need improvement in our tools and in the financials that surround not only IT projects, but all projects. Because the government financial systems, as good as they are for bookkeeping and general ledger and accounts payable and all that, aren't meant for managing projects, which is what IT is all about.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense. You got to know what's going on. You got to be able to help manage. Sort of set the strategic direction for the agency, right? There may be tactical decisions that are made at the field level, whatever, but they have to be consistent with an overall sort of strategic approach, it seems to me, right? So with that, and the other question was about, you know, opportunities to save money or, you know, meet the budget challenges that we know we're going to be facing over the next decade.
Well, I always say, I think we're in this mode now for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
I don't care which party is in control or whatever. We're going to have budget issues that are going to be paramount for CIOs to consider for the foreseeable future. So what they really need to do is all the more reason why they've got to get their arms around all of those IT dollars, because you can't save them unless you know they're there and you know what they are. You can't take advantage of all the opportunities to consolidate and to leverage among similar functions within your organization unless you know where they are. So I think there are opportunities. Cloud computing is a big one. One of the things that is really desirable and attractive about cloud computing and other things like shared services and infrastructure as a service. I'm just kind of grouping all those together. Software as a service is that they run on a different business model than the traditional. Okay, I'm the CIO, and okay, we'll buy this piece of equipment, we'll install it, we'll operate it, we'll update it, we'll fix it, we'll replenish it, we'll do all that kind of cradle to grave life cycle stuff. The cloud computing and related services provide a business model where a vendor does that as part of their job. And in doing so, they provide a different financial model that you can consider and take advantage of. It's what we call moving CapEx to OpEx.
Right.
Capital expenditures to operational expenditures.
Yeah.
In the traditional IT world, you spend a lot of money up front buying and then implementing IT. And then you spend O&M expenditures, OpEx, for each year to keep maintain it and operate it and things like that. So what cloud computing, the variants of cloud computing allow you to do, not disappear, but significantly decrease that CapEx part and push it into the OpEx category, which fits more nicely into the government funding approach, which is a yearly model. In the federal government budgeting process, there are no such things as capital funds. It's all kind of, you have a yearly budget.
Right. Yeah.
So this movement from CapEx to OpEx is really important. And because there is significant economies of scale. I mean, the vendors that are getting into this have many clients and have certainly invested some of their skills and talents in order to create a quality product. But then they can leverage across this equipment many, many clients, and that gives them an advantage. And you can leverage across your organization with them.
Sure.
And there is money-saving opportunities that are fairly significant in some of the applications. Now, each one would have to be proven. You'd have to do a business case and so forth. But from what I understand and talking with CIOs who are active right now, they're very excited about some of the money that they have saved when they ventured out into this cloud world. So I think when that is one of the major objectives, that is a strategy to pursue. Now, one of the challenges that CIOs have is how do I want to save that money, but I want to keep at least some of it. Because if I can't keep some of it, I have no way to renew my organization. I have no way to implement innovation across my agency, which I feel is part of my role as a CIO. So the CIOs ought to be able to, as part of this transformation and organization change and everything that we're kind of hoping will happen, there ought to be a way for CIOs to keep some of those savings and reinvest it in IT within their organization.
Right. And we have to take a break. But when we come back, we'll be talking more to Van Hitch. He is a senior advisor for Deloitte. And we'll continue our discussion of the IT marketplace, We'll continue a discussion of the challenges facing CIOs, whether it's personnel or stakeholder management, or the big one that we hear about a lot, especially in the wake of healthcare.gov, is requirements development and systems of systems. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Shouldn't a workstation live up to its billing? If yours are no longer working, there's Initiate from the Han Company. Initiate workstations are easy to order, install, and reconfigure. Components fit precisely and provide endless ways for space planners to arrange people. Initiate is also highly sustainable, helping reduce your environmental footprint. Initiate workstations, inspired by the practical needs of the workplace. Online at Han.com. That's H-O-N.com.
Well, welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Van Hitch. Van is a senior advisor at Deloitte. And Van, when we took the break, we're having a discussion about cloud computing and the opportunities for savings there, and what that could mean for CIOs, basically for the agencies in running their enterprises. And I wanted to ask you as a follow up, are there other opportunities that you see, or technologies that or solutions, whether right. it's that provide potential opportunities for savings out there?
Well, I think in the IT realm, there's certainly data center consolidation, yes. which I always plop together with cloud computing, because when I was looking at it, I couldn't look at how am I going to consolidate my data centers without thinking about, do I have an option here to put some of this in the cloud? So I think you have to look at them at the same, but they do represent two different kinds of IT investment at all agencies. So we've come from an era where having your own data center was kind of like a notch in your holster, and that is kind of the environment where there were just so many data centers, and whether they be small or large, were out there, and everybody felt like, in order to feel comfortable, I had to be able to see the machines. I had to be able to touch and feel and know the person who was running it, and they sure. work for me, and all right. that kind of stuff. That there's still some of that around, but over a period of 5 or 6 years now, at least, the federal government has been making a big push towards data center consolidation. And there certainly are funds to be saved by data center consolidation. There's new technologies in terms of that are ergonomically and from a environmental right. standpoint, much better than the old technologies. But you still have to buy something, or you have to rent something, or you have to do it in a cloud. It's got to be somewhere. You've got to get the funds or the business case in order to implement it. But there's still money to be saved from an agency standpoint, because there's so much leverage to be had from reducing from, say, 50 or 100 data centers down to 7 or 5 or 2 or something like that. You picking sure. the number mm-hmm. based on what makes sense at the agency. So I would have to say there's still some savings to be had there. Now, I would also say it's difficult to figure out what those savings are as a CIO in some cases, because you don't own all of the budgets for the real estate, and maybe the electricity bill you pay for it, but you don't control it. And there's a lot of things which are a little bit more elusive in terms of figuring out exactly what the savings is that you can count in your budget. But from an overall agency standpoint, I think there's still an opportunity to save money through data center consolidation. Now, in the area of mobile computing is something which I'm going to say 3 or 4 years ago was all the hype and a lot of excitement about sure. it and yeah. everything. And today you don't hear as much about it, but the reason is because it's been successful. I mean, it's just been implemented, and it's going to continue to be implemented. I mean, mobile applications are just going to be part of the woodwork, part of the workplace of today's government worker. And depending on what you do, if you're a law enforcement officer, you're going to have mobile computing, where you take it with you, you take your mobile device with you, and it's part of the job that you're doing. And when you're documenting a case, you do it at the site. You don't go back to your office and then try to remember what happened and then write up your notes. You actually do it right there. So mobile computing is becoming part of the fabric of the federal government. In doing so, I believe that there's going to be savings. There's going to be productivity savings. There's going to be improvements in mission accomplishment. There's going to be real benefits from mobile computing that are going to be difficult to capture. But that emphasizes one of the things about IT, which I would like to make. When we're thinking about savings, we shouldn't always think of IT as just getting savings within the IT department. IT is one of the few tools that are in the toolbox of government executives where they can actually save money for the whole agency by improving processes, by changing processes, by consolidating organizations, by implementing a mobile application, by doing a number of things that will change processes and therefore change the funding profile of specific areas, can save money for the whole organization. So I believe it's part of the job of a CIO to help point those out. And it's one of the difficult things that you have to do. You have to get ahead of the curve.
Yeah, and that goes to your point in the first segment, you mentioned how at DOJ you wanted to understand, your clients or your customers, the field organizations, the different entities, those 40 entities at DOJ, what they did, what their mission was, how they operated. I mean, that's exactly that point, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So helping them do their job better through IT is part of the job of the CIO, as envisioned in Klinger-Cohen, and it should be as part of the to-do list of every CIO. I mean, it's a big job, and it's a hard one to do, but one that they should take very seriously.
Right. And so let's turn to another piece of the puzzle, and that's sort of personnel. And that sort of goes to this issue, understanding the customer, and it's knowing both the information technology, but also your organization, that sort of thing. And, just do you have any thoughts about, where we are in terms of, the IT capabilities of the federal worker and where we can, are there opportunities to invest?
Well, actually, the HR aspects of IT are one that I personally am very concerned about right now. And I am on behalf of the IT community because it's gone through such a difficult period where, there have been some not so good things that have made the paper that kind of give everybody a little bit of a bad reputation. There have been periods when there's been no raises or minimal raises.
Yep.
All of a sudden, the IT worker is under scrutiny. And I know for a fact, having been in the environment for so long, there's many really, really good people out there who work for the federal government who are dedicated to what they do and are doing a great job. That being said, there's a lot of changes that are happening in the IT world that need to translate into the IT workforce. Different skills. Instead of, there aren't going to be as many coders in the future. There are going to be contract managers. CIOs need to implement what I would call a customer service organization. When you're moving more towards cloud computing and providing IT services to your organization, as opposed to doing the nuts and bolts of the IT, you need to deal with your customers and your IT workforce needs to take that to heart and treat them as customers in order to do the best job that they can. So those kinds of skills are very difficult to retain and to gain and may not have been in anyone's mind when this person was interviewed. So there's new skills. There's the whole thing about mobile computing, cloud computing. It's all different, all new. Now, for a lot of people in IT, that's exciting, learning new things. And a lot of people that work for me were excited to get involved in new areas. What the CIO needs to do is to find those people and to get them in challenging roles and to help them learn the new skills that they need. counterbalancing that, you've got the the age creep of the IT workforce, where people are, you know, kind of getting to the stage where at some point, you know, it's hard to say exactly when, because they've been predicting it for so many years.
Yes, absolutely.
But whenever, there's going to be a drop-off, a significant drop-off.
Yeah.
And we need to take advantage of that. It doesn't have to be a catastrophe, as long as the CIO takes it upon himself to really plan that out and position the right people. And I always viewed contractors as an extension of my organization. Obviously, there's an arm's length relationship because of the contract, but they are an extension of the federal workforce. So you have to pick and choose the skills of your people, put the right people in the right place, as well as contractors. And I've always said there's some things that you can't get a contractor to do. You know, you have to have a government person responsible for carrying out a specific task, which is the responsibility of the government, and you can't just delegate that to a contractor. You can hire a very great and intelligent contractor who's highly skilled to help do it, but then the government worker has to know enough about the technology and the project in order to make sure it gets done, and that the government doesn't get the short end of the deal.
Right, absolutely.
So all of those involve different skills, which are going to be challenges and people have to grow into. And part of the success story is going to be, can you pick and choose among the people that you have and position them in places where they can grow and gain those skills?
Right. And Van, we're already up on the next break. So when we come back, we'll be talking more to Van Hitch. He's a senior advisor at Deloitte. And we'll continue our discussion of the IT marketplace, the CIO's role, how we improve, the management of information technology in the federal government. And I got a couple of questions about that personnel challenge when we come back. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
These days, it seems everyone's talking about the new normal, but federal agencies have a chance to define it. How will you shape your future? Turn to Deloitte. We understand what makes America work and how it can work better. With our private sector insight and public sector experience, we can help you rethink, reduce, and restructure, or even change the game. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. Wherever you need to go, Deloitte sees you there.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Van Hitch. Van is a senior advisor at Deloitte and works in their federal practice. And Van, we took the break. We were talking about, prior to the break, we were talking about personnel challenges. And it was really interesting to me because I hadn't really thought about it in the way you described it. That's the idea that, you know, folks in the CIO office now, they're going to have to different set of skills. And a lot of it is customer service focused. And it almost sounds to me it's like there's going to be an even bigger role in terms of, you know, connecting or bridging the user of the technology, that internal customer, and the contractor or the provider of the technology, whether it's cloud or whatever. Is that sort of a fair description?
Yeah, that's accurate, and that's a different set of skills. It is both technical. They have to understand enough about the technology so they can diagnose the problems, they can communicate with the customer and with the service provider, but it's also interpersonal skills. And that wasn't traditionally something that you focus on when you're trying to find a programmer. Right. So it's a different set of skills.
Yeah, and they also have to know we've talked about it through the show, like you have to know the program. You got to know the organization well. So another area I think that's a challenge, and I think there's a personnel challenge to it, is cybersecurity.
Oh, absolutely. And one that I was involved with heavily over the last 6-7 years that I was a CIO at the Department of Justice. Because as I mentioned earlier in our program, when I took on that cybersecurity challenge at the Department of Justice and I found how risky it was, and I wanted to make the change and I got the support to do it, I realized that I had to develop an organization to go along with it. And in doing that was very difficult. Because back then, not just DOJ, but I would say pretty much most of the civilian federal IT community with, and I would carve out a few geeks up at NSA, and maybe a few people in DOD, but there were not many cybersecurity skills around in the federal government back in those days. And so getting those skills was a key part of what I was trying to do. Now, as I mentioned before, contractors play a big role in it. So you have to hire contractors and who have the right skills. You have to put your people next to them to learn by watching and doing and so forth. I took tremendous advantage, and I very much was a supporter of the Cyber Corps program. The Cyber Corps program was a very well thought out program by the federal government to fund the graduate education of people who applied for it and who, in a competitive program, were awarded scholarships in cybersecurity. And in return, they had to commit that they were going to spend X years in the federal government. I found that program very, very useful.
It's almost like the ROTC, right?
Almost like the ROTC. Yeah. Because I need these kind of people, not just in my IT security program. I need them in my development area. I need them in my policy area. I need them in my operations area. So we actually hired some people from the Cyber Corps programs all throughout my organization, because cybersecurity is not something you kind of bolt on at the end, or that you somehow think, okay, after it's happened, I have to figure out that it has happened, and then what do I do about it? If you do it right, you build it into the systems, you build it into the technology, you build it into your policies. So we had, certainly, we hired some people for our cybersecurity organization, but we also hired them throughout my organization in order to bring on some new blood who had graduate educations in it. And that was a good mix, because the organization that I inherited tended to be, have more senior people in it. So those people were, their job was to learn, and some of the people we brought in at the lower levels, their job was to teach and to do.
Right.
And it was actually a very good mix. So we were, I feel very good about the way we were able to grow those skills at DOJ. Although I don't downplay how difficult it is in general to do
right.
it. And in many other federal agencies, I'm sure it's been a major challenge for CIOs.
Right. And that idea that you have to sprinkle them throughout the org.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Another thing I wanted to ask you about, and we talked a little bit about it during one of the breaks, is just this, stakeholder management and how much harder it is, or challenging, Frank, in my view, if you are a manager in the federal government than if you're a manager, in the private sector, in terms of all the people who touch you, who have something to say about what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Interested parties and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Could you talk about what are some of the keys to stakeholder management?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you have to identify that there are so many different stakeholders. There are obviously, within your organization, there are the program people. They're usually the people you're working with to build and implement their technology. You've got your controller and your budget people and your administrative and HR people. So you've got all those kind of people who are stakeholders also in the IT organization. Then you have OMB, which I don't have to tell most CIOs how difficult they are to deal with on many cases. You've got GAO.
Yeah, right.
You've got the Hill. You've got your own IG. It's just a many-headed,
right.
I won't call it a monster, but I'll call it a challenge
right.
To deal yeah. with all these different forces and people who are very interested in what you're doing in a very specific way. They don't know a lot about the whole thing, but they know a lot about one thing that they want to know more about and hold you responsible for it. And they want your answers on that.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice if they had an overarching perspective on things a little bit, right. so if they understand what your job really is, right?
Right.
That's so my commentary, don't worry.
So that was quite a challenge. And I have to say, I was a little surprised at that, because in my prior life, I had spent 28 years as a government contractor and a systems integrator, and worked for state and local governments and federal governments, as well as private sector organizations, and was very aware of, you know, dealing with the clients and dealing with all aspects of the clients. But there's no client that is more complex than the federal government. And there's no more client that has more stakeholders and more overseers and oversight than the federal government. And that's a real challenge. And it takes up a very large amount of time of the CIO. And once again, it's a skill that you don't necessarily think you're going to be hiring somebody for if, as right. in the CIO right. role, that right. you're really hiring somebody to be able to communicate to all these different people at different levels, from the technical people to the legislators to the budget people to OMB. It's quite challenging. I found it very interesting, but also in many cases frustrating, but definitely a major part of a CIO's job is stakeholder management.
Right. Pan, we've reached the end of the show. So I want to thank you so much for coming on, and it's great discussion. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to have you back. We can talk some more cybersecurity, talk about some other challenges and potential solutions to our IT infrastructure in the federal government. So thanks for being on the show. Van Hitch, he is a senior advisor at Deloitte, and you have been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.